President Donald Trump read from 2 Chronicles 7 during the America Reads the Bible event. Recognize the true prophetic significance of these verses next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
America Reads the Bible. That was an event back in the month of April earlier this year, where 500 participants, including, as you saw there, including the President of the United States, read from the Bible cover to cover. The event lasted for 7 days. On today's program, we'll delve into the Bible passage that President Trump was reading from there. Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the program. So the tagline on America Reads the Bible was 250 years of the Bible in America. And the Bible has certainly been in America. You can get to a Bible. It's easier today than it ever has been. But are we living according to the Bible? Are we following the precepts, the teachings, the commands of the Bible? Are you doing it individually? Are we doing it collectively? When you think about it, if there's one passage of the Bible that an American president should read before all of the nation, 2 Chronicles 7 would be an excellent place to start. You heard a bit of it there from the president. God is putting his word in front of America, and we need it. We absolutely need it. 2 Chronicles 7, the passage the president read, verses 11 through 22, it teaches one of the biggest concepts that God is trying to teach man, the law of cause and effect, or blessings and cursings, blessings for obedience, cursings for disobedience. The late Herbert W. Armstrong, that 20th century educator, he often said that cause and effect is the central foundation or tool for true education. It's what we need most to be truly educated according to the Bible. He talked about two pillars for true education. You can read about this in one of his booklets, The Seven Laws of Success. He called these two essential pillars, and the first one being just knowing the purpose for life, why we're here. What is God working out here below? What is his purpose and plan? Why do we exist? That's number one. Number two, as he covers in that booklet, he said, right education must teach that all things are a matter of cause and effect, that for every result, whether good or evil, there's a cause, there's a reason. He said, true education will teach the cause of this world's evils, of personal or collective troubles, so that they may be avoided. Here's what you need to do to avoid curses. He said, also, it must instruct in the cause of the good results, that we may know how to win them instead of the troubles. Here is the way to blessings. Cause and effect, it's the same concept as blessings and cursings, what you read about in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses told the people of Israel, it's one of the last things he wrote to them, you'll be blessed if you obey, you'll be cursed if you disobey. God was so intent on teaching ancient Israel this lesson that he assembled them before these two mountains, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, two mountains that represented the way of blessings or the way of cursings. I can remember a summer youth program many, many years ago where we brought this to the attention of our young people. Look, there's two ways of life. There's the way that leads to blessings, and there's the way that leads to cursings. You can read about this at length in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. In many ways, blessings and cursings is the central lesson that God was trying to teach ancient Israel. In many ways, it's the central lesson of the whole Bible. Listen again to President Trump as he read from 2 Chronicles 7, clip 4.
Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for you, if you will walk before me, as David your father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of my kingdom according to as I have covenanted with David your father, saying, there shall not fail you as a man to be ruler in Israel.
Notice the language. If you do this, if you walk before me, like King David did, if you obey my commandments, my statutes, if you observe these statutes, then will I establish, in this case, he says, I'll establish the throne of David, the kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David, thy father. This is God reaching out to Solomon, telling him this is the way. This is the way to blessings. You've got to observe these statutes. You've got to do what I've commanded you to do. Notice again what Herbert Armstrong said. He wrote this in his book, Missing Dimension in Sex. He said, man is not to be punished for sin merely because God gave an arbitrary command. He says, but God gave the commands because these violations rob us of joys and inflict automatic harm. God's laws were set in motion to give us happiness, peace, security, and plenty, and thrilling, radiant joys. He said, God's laws are the gift of his love to us. God wants us to enjoy the blessings they make possible. This is the plain and rational truth. Why has a rebellious mankind insisted on being willingly ignorant of that basic fact of life? God's laws are a blessing. That's why the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament, Romans 7, verse 12, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. I mentioned Deuteronomy. Moses said to the ancient Israelites, look, if you keep the commandments of God, that obedience will make you strong. It will make you people of good character. It'll give the nation strength. Listen again one more time to President Trump reading through 2 Chronicles 7, clip 5.
But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up from the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to every one that passes by it, so that he shall say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore has he brought all this evil upon them.
Here again, if and then, if you disobey, then I'm going to pluck this throne up by the roots. I'm going to send curses. It's very clear. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 11 to 22. The passage that the president read from, it's a synopsis of Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. It gives us a little summary. It's like an abridged version of those blessings and cursings chapters. There are a couple of important differences, however. In Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, that's addressed to the people of Israel. Moses was writing or reaching out to the Israelites, and there's a duality to that. I won't get into all of the details. We only have so much time on one show. But in 2 Chronicles 7, as I mentioned, God is talking to Solomon, the king. He's addressing the king. This is how your kingship, this is how your monarchy, this is how your throne will be blessed if you obey, if you wrap your arms around that throne of David, the throne of your father, because God made a covenant with David, with King David. And that's the other difference between 2 Chronicles 7 and those other two chapters I mentioned, is that it's talking about a throne. So it's addressing a king and it's referring to a throne. Notice again, I'll just reread what we heard. Verse 17 of 2 Chronicles 7, "And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and you shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of your kingdom according as I have covenanted with David, your father. Then will I do this. I'll establish your throne. I'll establish your rule." The only blessing listed in this passage, 2 Chronicles 7, is establishing the throne of David. Now, if you look into the Old Testament, some of the strongest warnings are reserved for kings or rulers who turned the nation, the Israelite people, away from the throne of David, away from David's throne and that covenant that God made with King David. And as I say, I don't have time to get into all of these tangents, but coming back to the throne of David, notice why this is central, not just to the Old Testament, but to God's purpose. And you see it in the New Testament. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31 says, "And behold," this is the angel speaking to Mary about God's Son, the Son of the Highest. It says here, "Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great," verse 32, "and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Jesus Christ is going to rule on the throne of David. It's not a non-existent throne that he returns to. He's coming back. The prophecies regarding his second coming, they're all over the Bible. And when he returns to this earth, God says he's going to rule from the throne of David. Verse 33, it says, "And he shall reign." That's what kings do. They reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. God's purpose revolves around the throne of David. And this king that is to sit on that throne, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David, the Son of the Highest. I just want to draw your attention to a couple of booklets that we offer freely without cost or obligation. This is the Book of Chronicles, and it goes into some detail, that chapter that we'll go into more in the second half here, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you don't have this in your library, make sure you call our operators today or go to our website, keyofdavid.com. You can order it right online and get straight to the PDF or get a hard copy sent to your mailbox. Same with this one, the new throne of David. What is it about the throne of David? Why should it be mentioned so much in the Old Testament and then again in the New? Why would God say that to Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Highest? Why would she say, "This son in your womb is going to rule from the throne of David"? This book has a powerful message about that very throne. As you go to the phone or go to the website to order the free literature, make sure that you also subscribe to this magazine, the Philadelphia Trumpet. This one in particular, How America Became Great. We're coming up to the nation's birthday, 250 years. Why have we, like no other nation in history, why have we been blessed with so much prosperity, with so much power? Is it because of our own righteousness? Or does it get back to promises that God made to patriarchs? Well, this issue will cover it all. And if you want to get to the PDF of this particular issue, subscribe so you get all 10 issues each year. But the PDF you can get to at our website, thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
But we are injuring ourselves by the things we're doing. I want to tell you, my friends, right here in the United States, we need an awakening. We need a revival. Right here in the United States, there is more crime. There is more divorce. There are more broken homes. There is more juvenile delinquency. There is more sickness and disease in our hospitals. There is more insanity than in any other nation on the face of the earth today. Now, why should that be? Why should we be the prize winners and leading the world in things like that? Because we're, as a nation, we have always had, in the main, we've had nice altruistic fairly Christian ideas and attitudes toward other nations. That's true. We have done many nice and noble things. Yes, and we can see those things and pat ourselves on the back. We can think we're a pretty good nation. But what do we do among ourselves? We are on the way down and out. We are going pleasure mad, as I've said many times. We're going the way of ancient Rome, far faster than Rome ever did. And we're riding to the biggest fall that ever happened to a nation. And God is calling on us to cry out to Him, "Spare thy people, O God." But the first thing is to repent and turn to God and seek His ways and His way of life. We're not living God's way. Yes, we need an awakening. And listen, my friends, it isn't just someone else. It's all right to say, "Well, I'm all right." It's the other fellow that's wrong. When the United States is going the way it is, it's all of us.
It's all of us. And we need to turn to God. That's what makes 2 Chronicles 7 so powerful. It's really a positive message. Repentance is a good thing because that's you saying, "I forsake the ways that have been leading me to cursings. And I want to go the way of God. I want to follow in the steps of Christ." Coming back to this message, notice 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 11. "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house." It says, "And all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Eternal and in his own house, he prosperously effected." I mean, he worked hard at it. David worked hard in the planning and the preparation for this house. And then it's dedicated, and here's God's message. Do you want what goes on in this house to be blessed? Do you want everything surrounding the throne of David to be blessed? Well, then here's what you need to do. God appeared to Solomon by night. Second time this happened, by the way. God gave him a message, face to face, you could say. Verse 13, "If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people," verse 14, "which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face," these are good things, "and turn from their wicked ways," that's a good thing too, turning away from wickedness, "then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Well, a lot of preachers read that verse, verse 14. A lot of them leave out the phrase, "turn from their wicked ways." And to his credit, President Trump didn't do that. He read it. As I said, if you want an excellent passage to begin with, a president addressing the nation, 2 Chronicles 7, that would be a good place to start for sure. Because turning from our wicked ways, that's the big if. If the nation is to be healed, If we're to be blessed, then we've got to turn. We've got to turn from our wicked ways. My father gave a program on that very verse, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, back in 2017. Here's a clip from that show.
But first, let's take a look at why our nation really does need to be healed. And that includes America and Britain and all the British peoples, Canada and Australia and New Zealand and nations, the British peoples that we are so familiar with. One commentator on CNN talked about us entering into a civil war. Turn from their wicked ways. Well, is that too strong for a politician to state? Do we have wicked ways we should turn from? If you understand the Bible and what's going on in our nation today and nations, well, then you know that is something we should be concerned about.
There's lots of troubles in the world today, in our nation today. And so God sends this message. It's the message America needs desperately. Verse 15, now my eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. This is exactly what God will do for us today. If we humble ourselves, if we seek God, if we turn from our wicked ways, I read to you verses 17 and 18 earlier about God establishing Solomon's throne, establishing that throne of David. He had to walk in righteousness. Notice what it says in this book, the Chronicles booklet. My father says, the covenant God made with David keeps God alive in this church. Talking about God's church. We need this living God to direct everything we do. God's spirit-begotten people are God's greatest royalty on earth, God's royal family. This is all the Key of David message. This program is called the Key of David because, as I said earlier, God's purpose and plan, it revolves around David's throne. God is trying to connect us to his throne, to his family, his purpose, his plan. And of course, the devil is trying to separate man from that. That's why we see so much evil in this world today, so much deception, so many lies. People reading verses and taking the part out that they don't like. Well, God doesn't like that. And he says so in the Bible. We need to read it, be convicted by it, and be doers of the word of God, not hearers only. That's what God expects. Verse 19, it says, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. And this house, this beautiful house, Solomon's house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight. Well, that did happen. That absolutely did happen. We have to come back to God's law, God's truth, his statutes, his precepts, and keep them, observe them. That's what 2 Chronicles 7 is all about. Remember, the law is holy and just and good. The Apostle Paul said so. Herbert Armstrong said in his book, Mystery of the Ages, Satan has deceived this world's churches into the belief that God's law was done away, that Jesus, rather than paying the price in human stead for transgressing the law, did away with it, nailing it to the cross. He said, the very basic teaching, belief, and doctrine of God's true church, therefore, is based on the righteousness of and obedience to the law of God. It's based on obeying God's law. Jesus came and proclaimed that message, the message of the soon coming kingdom of God established on this earth. The kingdom has a king. There's territory in a kingdom. There's subjects, citizens. And there's also laws. You can understand that. You see that in nations today. And yet, why isn't it working in nations today? Because God is not there. God's government is not there. And God's laws are not being upheld. Here again, verse 14 says, if you humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is such a wonderful message that God wants for the world to heed. It's a wonderful message from a president to a nation. It's a wonderful message coming from God's church to those who will pay attention and listen and heed. Don't forget to order our free booklets, the Book of Chronicles and also the New Throne of David. You can go to our website and take care of that right now, keyofdavid.com, or call the number on your screen and talk to one of our operators. That's all we have time for on today's show. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
All art literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit www.keyofdavid.com.